Kelsey.
Hi, Joanna. I appreciate your reaching out the other day.
Oh, good. I'm glad you got it. I wasn't sure.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about you.
Things are going right. Things are going fine. I'm not doing too much on my business. I'm just in coast mode, but it feels okay.
You know what? There are moments for that.
Yep.
It's all
For
part of
sure.
the cycles. Hey, Lisa. Oh, can't
All right,
hear
we can
you. I'm just admiring my elder hair.
you. Beautiful.
Is beautiful.
Thank you.
Untamed. Hi, Corinne. Hi, Nicole. Hi, Inval. All right, let's give everybody another moment. See. All right, well, let's get started. I wanted to start today with just a little visualization. I'll set it up before we go in. This is something that I've been working on for myself, just a little bit of a like a short personal practice over the last couple of months. You can tell me if you have this experience or you've had this experience. I do, which is why I'm working on it, which is that there are actually so many really wonderful things in my life and business. Like there's shit sandwiches all over the place. Let me get that out of the way. There are shit sandwiches all over the place. And that being, and goals that have not yet been achieved that really want to be achieved. And also, there is beauty and abundance and magic and sacredness all around me in my business, in my life, in my home. And yet, unless I'm really conscious of it, what oftentimes happens is that I don't receive the benefits or the feeling of satisfaction or contentment from all of those things. So first of all, just if this resonates with you at all, let me know. Yeah. And as I have really been looking at why this happens, of course, there's the one piece on it's so much easier to focus on what's not there or what's not working or what hasn't happened yet. We've all looked at that together before, and it's important to keep on looking at it. But what I've also kind of noticed for myself, and this is kind of more metaphoric, so you can see if this resonates for you, is that it's almost like if there was a bowl inside of me that was there to take in and collect all of the contentment and the satisfaction and the beauty and the abundance. It's almost as if like there are a couple of holes in that bowl. And it just kind of leaks out. And then I don't get to gather it up as much as I like. Does that resonate? So what I've been working on for myself is just a simple visualization of repairing the inner bowl and sealing it, and then allowing that feeling of receiving and coming in. And so I thought it would be nice for us to just take a few moments to practice that today. And you can see if that's something that feels valuable as more of a regular practice for you. So you can take a moment, close your eyes, or if that doesn't feel comfortable, just close the, you know, metaphorically close your eyes. And start to go inward. And notice where in your body that inner bowl is for you, that vessel that allows, that container that allows you to feel satisfaction from what's, and contentment and happiness from what's already here. Notice where that bowl lives inside of you. For me, it's around my belly. Let's see where it is for you. And start to inspect it. Take a look at it closely and see where the cracks are or the holes are. And as you find each crack or hole, seal it up. Seal it up so that your container can hold more for longer periods of time. And as you seal each crack and each hole, see if you can feel this bowl viscerally inside of you becoming more whole. Feel that container becoming more whole. So that with each breath, you get more of an embodied feeling of this bowl, of this container that is there to help you receive. And then from there, with each breath in, take in the goodness in your life and your work straight into the bowl. Intentionally breathing in straight into the bowl. The contentment, each of the pieces of goodness, of abundance, of satisfaction that already exist. They're right there for the taking. Bring it into your body. Into your container. Into your bowl. And notice how it feels. Whether you're taking it in a lot or a little, doesn't matter. Notice how it feels to take in the goodness. Notice how it feels to take in the contentment. And Take one more nice deep breath together in and out. And then allowing your eyes to flutter open. Lissa saying you need a new bowl. You get to create that, Lissa. Yeah. Anything anyone wants to say on this, either the visualization or this dynamic of being able to really take in and hold and contain what is in front of you. Corinne.
Hey. Thank you, Joanna. I found a big hole. And what's coming to mind for me is that to take in, I have to kind of open and be vulnerable. And how scary that can be, and how instinctual it is to kind of say, no, put the lid on. That's enough.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so true. So, and I'm so glad that you're seeing that and bringing that forward, because I think that can be a big part of the dynamic. So as you're seeing it, what's a next stretch for you around this?
I think for me, it's about creating the awareness.
Mm-hmm.
To like do an inventory.
Yeah.
When am I taking it in? And it is part of my practice. So it's been falling away a bit this summer. I've been tired.
Yeah.
It's like that every night, recognizing my gratitudes and what I'm proud of, and maybe start to write it instead of just thinking it.
Yeah, yes. And if this resonates, just to take it a step further, like I find with me, it's very easy for me to list it out and even write it out and understand cognitively all the things that are wonderful and going well, but it's a whole other thing to actually feel it, to actually take it in viscerally. For me, that's really what the bowl is about. Cause like here, sure, but here is different.
I like that. I'm gonna add that. Fill my bowl. Just not thinking it, writing it, but actually feel it.
Okay. Mm. I know how it goes. Anything else that wants to be said about this or shared before we open up for our Q&A? Hey. Oh, great. Kelsey.
I sort of missed what your question was, but I think something that just came up for me from Karen's share was for me that I think sometimes it's hard. I think it's a protective mechanism. What happens when you don't want to take in. So I'm a super open, energetic person. I've had my human design done. I'm like open in like 6 out of the 7 centers or something. So I really, it's so easy for me to take in, which is part of what makes me a good coach and a good acupuncturist, because I can actually feel with the other person so easy. So I have this protective mechanism because I don't want to take in too much into my body. But what you do when you do that is you protect yourself from actually feeling the good too. And so that's a real eye opener for me. That I have to learn to trust, to open to feeling that it's not going to like overwhelm me with like other people's stuff or what's bad or whatever, like that in controlled environments, I can open and take in the good and really feel it. Maybe when you're taking an opening to what feels good, you might end up feeling something that doesn't feel so good, and that's comes with it, but sort of a risk you have to take if you want to take in the good.
Totally. It's such a great point, and it's so good to have that awareness. And I love that I can even feel like as you're talking, like you're opening up a little bit to like, but I can take in. And I'm wondering for you, like maybe your image, you know, if the bowl works for you, great. But if not, maybe your image is to see that protection mechanism, but put a special, recreate it so that it can let in the goodness, mm-hmm. but protect you from taking in things that you don't really need to take in, mm-hmm. and lean into that, right? Like, what would that look like? And then viscerally, what would that feel like? Mm-hmm. To know that you have your boundaries, but that they're porous for the right moment.
Right. That it's safe to be open, right? It's safe to open to what I choose to let in.
Yeah.
Or even, I mean, I think even the next step for me is like, it's safe to let in even the bad stuff because I don't actually have to make it mine, right? I see your suffering or I see your whatever, but I'm not taking it into my tissues in the same. I'm not holding it. I can let it in and through and still be safe.
I love that. I love that. That is incredible. And if the visuals work for you, I'd really think about like, what is that visual for you that really describes what that mechanism that you just shared, this new mechanism that you just shared, and start to feel into and embody that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nice. Good. Thank you. These little things, we all know this, but I have to say like these little things, at least for me, they make a difference. You know, sometimes it's not going to last like hours, right? It might just last me the next half hour and then I have to come back to it or whenever I get another chance. But the awareness, the feeling, right? So much around the four levels of learning and transformation, processing that we keep on coming back to, but reinforcing those pieces really make a difference throughout the day in terms of how we feel. And then it affects our mindset. It really does. Okay. So with all of that, let's open up for our clinic and Q&A time. You all know the deal. Bring forward anything that you would like support on, client case studies, curriculum, marketing, sales, inner pieces, whatever it is that you need. And we'll all use law of adaptation to see how it's relevant for each of you as well. So who can I help first today? Nicole. You there, Nicole?
It looks like she froze.
Oh, okay. I'm going to come back to you, Nicole. We can't hear you or see you. Come back to you. Karen.
Hi. I took a bite. I wasn't expecting to be on. I don't know if there's much support around it, probably it is, but I'm seeing with the COVID vaccinations happening and that there's like a pent up, almost like a pent up desire and demand for in-person workshops and like a, an online workshop fatigue.
Yes.
So I'm like, wow, here's a great opportunity to fill workshops to offer. And I was just going through, I'm clearing out my office. I love papers. I have so many things on papers. I have all these workshops that I've done, workshops, ideas that I've created. And I print everything out. So I was just clearing it out and throwing it out because I'm moving. And I felt a resistance Like there's like, oh gosh, a resistance to doing the in-person, to have to find the venue, fill the venue, figuring it all out. It's been also such a nice to, when you do like on an online program, I have my scripts right in front of me. I can sometimes just read from it, and I've gotten really good at reading my script and still looking at the camera. So that I haven't had to, I don't know, memorize or just kind of feel into it, which I still do, but I can notice the fear. It's like, yeah. Oh, can I do this in person? I've added on weight. Do I actually want them to see my body? Do I want to wear pants while I'm teaching? Is this resonating?
I hear you.
Right. So I think this like, whoa, it's like gearing up, like building up that excitement to go out and do it in person, but also feel like, oh, did I forget how to do it?
Yes. Yeah. So hear you. Is there a question in there, or do you want me to just reflect?
Just reflect, and maybe there's a question that comes up.
Okay. Okay, so a couple of things. So first of all, I do think people are having Zoom fatigue. You know, I'm seeing it, right? Like even on our calls, there are not as many people. And like we have been in front of computers so much. It has been, just full transparency, like it has been a little bit harder the last few months, I've found, with marketing too. I think that especially now that a lot of people are vaccinated and it's summer for a lot of people and the world is opening up, people want to be out and about, right? It is. That being said, you always want to take a look at, well, do I actually deeply desire to be in person, you know, or because we never want to do something just because it's good for everybody else. Right? Because if it truly isn't a desire, you will bring people in online. You know, we're still filling sacred depths. It's totally online, right? It's just, you know, I mean, so that's the first piece, is don't ever do it just because, right? Because that doesn't work. The other piece I just kind of want to toss in there in case it resonates for anyone is those of us that are introverts, this opening up of the world is hard. Like I liked it better.
Right?
It's safer. I don't know. I love being in person for retreats and all of that, but you know, just so we want to take that into consideration also. Yeah, I agree with Stephanie. I think there is going to be a rebalance too, you know. So anyway, we want to first just never do anything out of fear or like this is what I need to do to survive. So that's the first place. And then if there is that desire, just because there's resistance doesn't mean it's not meant to be, right? It just means that there's resistance. Yeah. That's all. And yeah, I've gotten used to sitting at my desk and not, you know, all the things. But if it's something that you desire, then you'll get through it. You have muscle memory, soul memory, body memory, brain memory. Like you know how to be in person with people, Corinne. There is no doubt in my mind that the second you walk in the room, it will all be there. I think the biggest question is, what is it that you desire right now? How does that land? What does that bring up for you?
I think you're right. I think the muscle memory is there. The foundation is like it's deep. I've taught this so many times. And it's something about having done it online so much this winter. I've actually taught more workshops than I normally do because of the online, that it's strengthened my muscle and the muscle memory, the like the pathways in the brain as like I start to say one word and then it just like it all comes. So yes, I know that is true. I'm also know that it is in my workshops that I find my clients. So it feels there is a little sense of urgency because I've also noticed that my workshop is not filled as much, and there's been fewer new clients coming in, yeah. Fewer like discovery calls, and I totally believe it's I don't think it's me and energetically me. I just think it is the world is opening up and people want to just go out, go to the beach, go to friends, hang out, go to the bar.
Just so you know, and for everybody to hear, I mean, you know, I don't want to make this like a whatever, but I have spoken to colleagues. I am hearing this across the board, you know, and colleagues that have like massive businesses, way bigger than mine too, is just across the board. I think that's what's happening, right? And cycles, like that's okay. You know, like Stephanie's saying, it will rebalance, it will come back around again. And that also doesn't mean that you can't make sales right now too. But it's just a different way, or it will take a maybe a little bit more effort or doing it differently or whatever it is.
Right.
If you are feeling the desire to be in person, I mean, the other thing to way to think about it too is like, what will it bring you? You know, to be in the room with people, holding hands, giving hugs, being with other bodies, you know, what's that kind of energetic boost that will bring?
That's true. Well, that actually leads to another question. I'm just going to check in what everybody thinks, like, why doing an in-person retreat or workshop? Like, what are the COVID protocols? Like, vaccinated people only. I've already got chewed out by a client for getting vaccinated. Or wearing masks. I'm really struggling with like what, because it's my workshop. I make the rules.
Yeah.
But what do I want the rules to be?
Yeah. So that I think what you said, it has to start from there. It's your workshop. You make the rules, right? And then think into what feels right for you, and don't question it. Don't worry about what other people think. I have a client who on the other side of things, I have a client who has not gotten vaccinated, and you know what she's really come to, and this has been her experience, is that she is just clear about it with her clients and with her groups. I have not gotten vaccinated, and I'm also not going to be wearing a mask. And so that's the deal, you know, if you want to come, but I'm being upfront. And you know what she's found is that for the people that are not coming or don't feel comfortable with that, they're like, just let me know, you know, like, let's keep in touch. Let me know, you know, in the future, like if you do, or let's see how things change and shift and how, right? So, and I'm sure there's some people that are just like, forget her, I'm not going, right? But the reason why I'm sharing it is that don't worry so much. So long as you are upfront, people will then make their decisions and the right people will come.
Thank you. Thank you. That really resonates deeply.
Okay, good. And this conversation is reminding me that I actually have to call the hotel and make the reservation for the in-person retreat that I'm doing. Healthy.
I just wanted to remind you before I go to go back to Nicole.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Mm-hmm. Oh, she's back with us. Great. Thanks. Nicole.
Hi. Yeah. Suddenly my internet went down. So thank you, Kelsey, for reminding. Yeah. Well, it's a little bit related to what Karen said. I didn't get it totally, but the introversion I recognize. But at the moment, I feel a little bit stuck. So I don't have any issues with clients. And I feel a little bit stuck in my business. It's all going well. The world is opening up. I have to rethink some things. And I feel like I'm somehow in a no man's land. And this week, I had a holiday. Last week, I went to France. So I'm a lucky girl. But I noticed the one-on-one in-person work, it didn't excite me anymore. And I thought, is this the moment I feel I'm somehow in some kind of a crossroads. What choices do I have to make? Do I want to do more group? And my head's somehow a mess. I in the past, I did two programs in Spain and Finland. Last 2 years, we couldn't do it because of the pandemic. And now I'm thinking, is this a deep desire to not do it again? Or do I do want to do it again? It's all fuzzy. So maybe you can help me out with some questions to rethink in the summer periods, to not to overrush any decisions to take. And I have to push myself because I know the no man's land is a place you have to be and to wait and patient. That's not my strongest
point. Yeah, it's not for many of us.
Help with some journaling questions, or well, I think you get the point.
100%. And so I'm glad that you're bringing this piece in, though, that you know that you don't want to make quick decisions, because it will just help with everything. I mean, the amazing thing, there's many amazing things about this, but first I just want to point out, like, you're not in a place where you have to make a quick decision. Like you said, everything is going really well. You have a sustainable business. Things are working, right? You're in this beautiful place of privilege of, like, yes, things are ready to change, but they don't have to, right? Mm-hmm. So you can take your time with it. So some questions to be thinking about. So the first is, if you weren't worried about the how or the if it could happen, what is it that you deeply desire right now? Right? Because those are usually the big things that get in the way of visioning. What if it can't happen? Or what if I don't know how to make it happen? Right? Mm-hmm. We can get to the how later. Don't let that get it, right? So if you didn't worry about the how or the if, what is it that you deeply desire? So that's one thing to be really thinking about. Another thing to be thinking about is, you know, for this period of time, and you can determine what that period of time is, if it's the next year, 12 months, or, you know, whatever it is. For this period of time, what's the impact that you want to be making in the world? And then, you know, you might get some of the same answers to each of these questions, but I'll just give a couple different other ways in. What would bring you the most joy right now? And then the last piece, this is less of a straight up journaling question, but have a conversation with your business. Mm. Okay, so your business is a part of you, but also separate from you. It's its own entity. It has its own personality. It has its own energy. It has its own desires. Mm-hmm. And journal with your business and ask your business, what do you want? And what do you want from me? And what are you growing into? This is very much on my mind these days because I, as you all know, I have an almost teenage daughter. And this is like one of those moments in parenting where I'm like so realizing that she is of me, but is not me. And that she has her own trajectory that, and I'm kind of along for the ride and to hold the space for her and all the things, but like she's her own person. And I've been really like seeing the parallel of that with my business as well. And how sometimes I make my business too much me instead of it, its own entity.
Beautiful questions. Yeah, really. I'm really looking forward to answer those questions. And Friday is my birthday. I'm a day off, so I always take some time to rethink and reflect on past year. So I guess I'd like to answer all these questions and to really dive deep into them. So it's I'm looking forward to it. It excites me to do this. So thank you. Yeah.
So welcome. Yeah. It is exciting. And let us know what you come up with and we can continue to incubate it from there.
Yeah. And what you said about time, there's no urge, there's no push. It's a summer period. I can also, I'm allowed to be in I have permission to be in a nomad's land. So yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. It can be a totally magical place. You know that. So allow it.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Healthy.
So I'm reflecting on how similar, you know, in some ways my question is to Nicole's, Nicole's was to Karen's. I think there's like a thing that's happening. I've also been in this sort of liminal low point, whatever, just static point in my business for a few months now. I've had a lot of personal stuff going on, as I've mentioned. And it's been great. And it's been totally slow power. And I've experienced slow power at a different level, which I think is really going to help me reemerge when I'm ready to reemerge, which I feel coming, actually. And there's this whole, I actually think some of what I might reemerge with is something about helping people, everyone, whether you're a coach or in business or whatever, everyone's having this. I'm talking to so many clients about, do they want to go back into their office or not? Or how's it going to be? So there is like a reemerging something that I want to put together, but obviously do I do it online? Do I do it in person? You know, how do I do it? I have a question for you just about like advice around, I've been quiet for a while. I haven't written an email in a few months. I haven't posted much on Facebook. Like, so the reemerging, you don't want to just reemerge and then launch something. You want to like be reemerging before you launch something. And so I'm looking for, I don't know, advice or thoughts on that a little bit. And I guess start there. What was it? The other half of it is escaping me at this very minute. The second half was, so I went to the sacred power thing, which was great. And then that hiring piece, it just reminds me of what we talked about last time we all got together. I think I had was going to follow up with Lissa and Karen about hiring someone. Like, I really feel like part of my reemerging is I'm not going to do it the old way. Like, I need more support, whatever. And I'm stalled. So it's like, what is the first, I want to, like, both questions kind of go together. Like, I feel like this slower period is a perfect time to hire and bring people on. And yet I don't really have anything for them to do right now because I've been slow. And so I don't know, a question just about the staging of this and what do you see that might be helpful for me? I don't know if that's the right way to say the question.
Yeah. Okay. It's pretty broad, but I'll say some things and then we'll see from there. So first is, I think now is the perfect time to bring someone on because it's not high pressure and you can, you can pick one or two things that either you're doing that are taking up too much of your time or that aren't getting done in your business that could really move the needle and get somebody started on those things.
Okay.
So I think before you go to hire someone, I would, and Tina, I think Tina gave a version of this exercise on the call the other day. I would make a list of what are things that you're doing right now that are taking up your time that you don't really need to be doing.
Yeah.
And then what are things that are not getting done that could really potentially move the needle.
Okay.
And then from there, you'll see, like, even without a launch happening tomorrow, right? Where bringing a team member on can help you make more money.
Okay.
And then they'll be set, you know, they'll be there with you for when the launch happens. You'll already have somebody in place who understands your business, who understands your brand, you whatever it is, and they can help you with that as well. And I make this mistake over and over again. I'm just going to be like honest, but it's something I aspire to, is like, I always hire when I need the person yesterday, when I need that support yesterday, but really the best way to hire is before you need it.
Yeah. There's just that financial piece where you're like,
I totally get it. So, and it might be that, you know, like you can decide how many hours, right?
That's true. I mean, sometimes there's all these VAs now that are like, I'm $400 a month. Like, that's just what I am. Or I'm $600 a month. I don't care if you use me 2 hours or, you know.
But so, then look for other ones.
Yeah.
You know, because not everybody is like that.
Right.
So, okay. Is that helpful on the hiring end of things?
Yeah. And just one question about Tina. She said she was going to send a document with interview questions or something.
I posted it in the Facebook group for Sacred Power, and you'll also get it over email.
Okay, cool. Thanks.
Okay. Then in terms of the first question, just so that I understand, I just want to make sure I'm getting it clear. I feel like you're asking about marketing. Like, is it okay to people haven't really heard from you. It feels weird to reemerge with a launch. You need to like reemerge first. Were you talking about marketing specifically?
Yeah. I was sort of like, how do you come back to your audience?
Yeah.
You know, like, so, hey, I'm hibernating. I don't want, you know, do I tell, like,
totally.
What is that? So, you've probably never been absent as long as I have. So this is a hard question for you.
Well, yes and no. I have had my periods, believe it or not. I have. And so if you would have asked me this question 2 years ago or before, and people always ask this question. So up until about 2 years ago, my answer would have been like, yes. They need to get used to you again. You need to take the time and reemerge and have them hear from you regularly and reengage and all the things. And I think that was the right answer. I mean, okay, there's no right answer, right? But for like, from my perspective, that was pretty accurate for up until about 2 years ago, when there wasn't so much noise and people really paid close attention. But now, and especially over this last year where everybody's gone online and there's so many more, or like all the things, most people, you know, and don't take offense, because it's the same with me. Most people did not even notice that you haven't been around. Right. Like, really, they have not noticed, because they've had hundreds of other emails in their inbox and have been like all the things. You could, I'm not suggesting you do this, but you could, if you wanted, start with launch marketing emails and it would be totally fine. So that's one option, is you absolutely could. And in some ways it might get more attention because they haven't been used to hearing you. And then they see you in their inbox and they're like, oh, what's this? Right. Right. So I don't think you need that whole reemerging. If you want, do one or two emails, newsletters, articles about like your learning from your experience, mm-hmm. right? But have them be very much related to whatever you're going to be launching. So yeah. that they really are the beginning of the launch, even though you're not making asking them to do anything in those articles. Right. Yeah. So either one of those, but you don't need this whole long period. It's just in your mind.
Okay. Cool. Thanks.
Yeah, you're welcome. Well then.
Hi.
Before you share your question, I just want to celebrate all the visibility. It's awesome. I've loved seeing the videos with your partner and all that you're sharing and putting out there. It's been noted. So yay.
Cool. Well, and you know, I have like so many questions, but I feel like I need to share and I couldn't like decide on what I wanted your advice on, but I'm sure the universe will figure it out. So, cause it's also felt like it's been a while since I've been here with you all. June's been crazy. It's like a series of birthdays, including mine, which was like a big one. And then I went to Vegas for my first time. And anyway, it's been fun. But I've also been like really focused on powerful love with my partner. Where we're at now is Pride in Seattle is happening this weekend. It's virtual and we have a booth and it feels weird to run a virtual booth, I think.
How does that work?
Right. So the booth exists. And what we're able to do is upload like a video that they can watch sort of in our booth. And then they can, like we can work the chat. So like if people have questions, whatever, we can respond via message. And then we've carved out time to be live in a Zoom-esque environment like this, where people can just like stop by and talk to us. But like, obviously we have like this really long enrollment script and I'm feeling a little anxious about how to navigate the unknown. And because I don't want to just be answering questions off the cuff, like, oh, how much does it cost to work with you? Because there's so much more like we need to talk about. I want to try to be good at steering them into an enrollment conversation rather than having it live. But I don't feel very skilled or practiced at doing that. So if anyone has time this week to maybe be a practice person, I love that. Just throwing that out there. I'll throw it in the Facebook too. So anyway, we have not shot the video or anything for this landing page because I think we're unsure about what we want to share or how we want to hook them. But yeah, additionally, I think I'm feeling some anxiety around like how to show up powerfully in this virtual booth thing. So if you have any advice on like the video and or booth piece, I think those are the things that are like really occupying a lot of space for me.
Yeah, I have some thoughts, but before we get there, I just want to make sure I understand the mechanics of it because I'm not totally grasping. So everybody that is participating in Pride in general will be on Zoom and they're,
no.
Okay.
So it's an application called, it's a virtual application called Hopin. And so it has, I wish it might be weird, but I might be able to screen share if that's a thing.
Yeah.
Anyway, there's like little places where you can like hop in and watch this stage or watch this stage. And then there's an area of this event that are called the booths. And then, so we have like a little tile with our marketing and you just like click in there. And then it may bring you to our video if we're not live. So it'll be video and then a chat. And then when we are live, it's just gonna be like a Zoom thing.
And you can choose throughout the day when you're live or when the video is playing.
Yeah.
And the video would play on loop when you're not there, or it would just like, kind of automatically come on when someone clicks.
Yeah, I think it's an on-demand thing.
Got it. Okay. That helps a lot. I wasn't, no, now I can picture
it. I wasn't explaining it well.
So a little bit more. Okay. All right. So I'll share some things and we can see where you want to go in more deeply. So for the video, and I think the two of you are already doing some of this in your lives, but just to go a little bit deeper, the whole idea of all of this and all of your marketing in general, the video, I mean, just everything you do is to have your prospect, whoever is in front of your marketing materials, feel like they want powerful love, like whatever this is, whatever powerful love means, that they want it in their life so much that they like don't even want to go another day without having powerful love fully expressed and experienced in their life. That's really what you're selling. You're not selling coaching. You're not selling whatever format your program is. You are selling the feeling and the experience and the impact of powerful love. So in your video, you really want to reveal that. You really want to speak to what happens for an individual or couple or whatever when powerful love is in their life, when they're able to achieve or create whatever wording you want to use, express, embody powerful love. How do they feel differently? What is their relationship like? Then what's the ripple effect of that? So that's a really big piece of all of your marketing, including the video, right? Because you know what powerful love is. Your partner's name, Jennifer?
Jenny, yeah.
Jenny. You and Jenny know what it is because you experience it, right? But like other people don't yet. You need to like, they really need to get it and why it's so important and essential for them. So that's going to be a big piece of the video. And then I think it would be helpful to talk a little bit in the video about what gets in the way of having, creating, embodying, experiencing powerful love. What stops people and couples from having it? You're not going to tell them how to get around that. That's in the work, right? But you want to speak to, you know, maybe you don't value yourself, you know, there isn't the self-love or there isn't the, whatever the things are, right? So that when people watch it, they will also, number one, be like, oh my God, these people are in my head. They get it, you know? And number two, they'll really start to see like, oh, there's a way around these pieces or to work through these pieces.
Cool. Thank you.
And then you might want to end the video with a question. Or have a couple questions throughout the video. You know, think about back to sacred depths, how breakthrough questions really help people, right? And so in this case, you want to use the questions to help them get invested in this idea of powerful love, right? But so a question like, what would be different in your life if you were able to embody powerful love? What would you be able to create? What are the places that have held you back from it until now, right? And then the very end can be some kind of next step call to action, right? Like if you want to take a deeper look at this, you know, drop us a note in the chat. We'll set up a time to talk. And, you know, we have a beautiful process, one-on-one process, conversation, you know, however you want to say it, you know, no pressure, no strings attached, where we'll really be able to take a look at the potential of powerful love in your life and what's been holding you back and what are the specific steps you need to together, or something like that. And let me pause there. How does all of that feel?
Amazing.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah. And then I think the live is a version of that, right? So like if you are live and people come in, you know, maybe it's like you start with just like a fun, compelling question, like, you know, what piqued your interest? You know, yeah. Like, what do you think powerful love is? Or how is that, you know, whatever. And then you can kind of talk to them from there. And again, the idea isn't to have, like you said, the enrollment conversation right then and there, but to get them invested in this idea of powerful love enough that they're like, yeah, I'd like to have a conversation with you.
Awesome. Thank you. I feel juiced up now.
Great. Yay. And Stephanie, I know you have done that for some conferences. You've had a booth. Is there anything that you want to add, or like any little tips or anything that you found?
I realized after Kelvin, after you started talking, that what you're doing is very different from what I did. Mine was more of like a vending event for the product side of my business. And I had none of that. It was like, post a link to your shop and a coupon code. So I feel like my experience doesn't really apply.
Cool. Thank you.
All right. And if you need anything, Calvin, as you're putting the video together or thinking about things, let us know. Pinball.
So, yeah, like Calvin, I also have a few questions. So I guess there's two layers. One is that, you know, I finally finished this project on Monday night, and I still need to be like, yeah, and please pay me for those extra days, but it's launching tomorrow. So I'm just like giving them space and, you know, doing also, it's just been, I think I'm realizing, so it's like kind of being burnt out by that, but also realizing that, you know, that the pandemic maybe impacted me more negatively than I thought. And that the last, you know, 6 months have been hard, and the last 2 months, especially, and all of this stuff. So I'm really tired, and I don't feel like excited to, I don't feel like it's winter. I just feel tired.
Yeah.
And you know, and I'm also like, well, I haven't really focused on my business in 6 months. So that's kind of, and like that, you know, I want to be doing more, or I at least like, I do want to be focusing on it. But I'm just like, I can't be like summer about it. So it's so finding, I guess, like that, you know, so finding that. And then, you know, I also feel that it's like, you know, I know I'm saying should, like, but that's how I feel, like, you know, to be doing a lot of outreach, especially since, you know, I don't have a full load yet. I don't want to be in a client load. I don't want to be in a position of like, oh shit, I need money. Let me take another consultancy. You know, I know that some of that is in my head and some of that is reality. So at least like the reality part, I want to, you know, I'm dealing with the scarcity stuff in my head, but there's also like the reality. Yeah. And then the other thing is that like, I think I need to focus on client care and containers more, because like that has been slipping because my energy is lower. I haven't been taking care of my health. So it's like my mood and my energy are up and down. So there's that way, I guess, you know, I just kind of said, like, I think I know what I need to focus on. And then there's also like a specific thing with a client.
All right, we'll get to the client thing in a second. You're sounding clear on to me. Maybe I'm hearing clarity that you're not. But you know what I'm hearing is like you just ended this consultancy. You're less than 48 hours out from it, right? Like you're tired, pandemic, fallout from that. You don't have to be in, now the consultancy is done and like all the things. And it doesn't also have to be winter. Like there can be this balanced place in the middle for you. And also how it feels today is gonna feel different than a week from now. Not to say that you're not gonna feel tired a week from now, but literally it's just been less than 48 hours since you finished this. So let this, give it a couple days, like give yourself a couple days to recalibrate first from finishing this consultancy, not having not just the actual work to do, but like the energetic weight of it, you know, which I know that you carry with you, even not in the moments that you're doing the actual work. Give yourself a few days to just recalibrate from that, to rest from that, you know, to wrap it up fully energetically. The other thing, and then so the next thing that I'm hearing is that, and client care always comes before marketing, that I'm hearing, which helps your business anyway, you know, easier than marketing in a lot of ways, right? So to focus on tightening up those client containers that need tightening up, really making that a priority. I don't think that's going to take a lot of energy from you. I just think it's like energetic intention and a little bit of time, you know, and focus on that. But that is for sure, in terms of your business, the most important thing. And then from there, it doesn't have to be all or nothing with the outreach. Right? So maybe to start, you have 2 hours a week of time and energy to do some outreach, activate some business. So you start there. And that will look different, I think, in 3 weeks from now than it does now. Because you'll be farther out from wrapping up the consultancy, you'll have tightened the client containers, and then, you know, I made up 2 hours arbitrarily, you know, whatever, but I think it will be different. How does that land?
Yeah, it's very, it's validating, like the part like client care is always before marketing, because I feel like, yeah, I'm too like split, like I, you know, it's like, follow up from a, you know, from a client call I haven't even done. Yeah. And like, I need, it's just, it's too leaky.
Yeah. So that is always the first place to put your attention and focus.
So with the client, it's, so, I mean, we've been working together for a few years. And she was ambivalent about like signing up for a 12-month program. And we actually put in the contract that if her loans are not, I guess if whatever that she could get out of it, we've never. So that's kind of the background. And because she moved, so it's basically she was like, I'm just not as committed to this process as I was and as I wanna be. And I'm having a hard time distinguishing like what part of it is like I don't think I'm responsible for it. I think part of it is that like she is avoiding and hasn't been willing to do, you know, to do the work, but also like, you know, she just moved in March. She took a major, you know, based on a session, she took a major step forward, you know, about her health. And, but she isn't willing to, she hasn't been doing the program. She's not. And so she hasn't been doing like some of the homework. So in the last session, it was like, yeah, I hear you. And we just, and, but, 'cause I think part of her thing is is that like, oh, I'm just so clear. I'm just so not clear about anything. And so we actually went through like all the stuff she is clear about. Because I think it's part of like, yeah. And I gave her like journaling where it's like, how does the confusion or the lack of clarity serve her? Because, you know, it's the very typical, like I do it too. I'm so unclear because I'm actually really scared to name what I want.
Yeah.
But I do feel like I need to acknowledge this piece more directly. Yeah, like about, I know some of it is my energy, but like, yeah, about her not being as invested. And I think part of it is like her work sucks too. And I do want to say like, it's, you know, that she does need to also make a choice. Like at one point in the pandemic, I was like, do you want to get a therapist? Because we were kind of like watching her depression.
Yeah. So knowing what you know about her, how much more time do you have left in the contract?
We're about halfway.
Halfway. Okay. So knowing what you know about her, what do you sense if she were to become more invested and present in the work? What do you think is possible for her in the next 6 months?
Oh, like, I mean, she would just move forward on all of the things. And she's done it before.
Okay.
I mean, she could be pandemic burnt out like many of us.
Mm-hmm.
Also, so.
So even
yeah,
if she
100%, is, yeah.
Right. And so like fully present might look different right now than it would before the pandemic or a year from now. Hopefully it will be farther out, right? And that's okay too. So I was asking the question for you to have clarity, but also just to like hear, like, do you think there's hope for her right now? Or are you right? But like right away, you're like, no, she could this, and that, right?
Yeah.
So tell me how this lands for you. But my sense is to bring that and that energy to her and to really say, it might be that it's just not the right time for you. And I want us to explore that for real. But I took some time and I really thought about it. And here's what I know is possible for you. If you were to bring yourself fully present, you know, and you can even give that caveat, which doesn't have to look present in the same way that it did a year ago. And share that with her. And then I think from there, maybe the first question for her is like, do you want that or a version of, you know, or if it's not exactly that, what is it? But like, what is it that you want? Right. Yeah. And when you tell her what you know is possible, you say, 'cause I know you've done it before. I know, you know, all of those things. So then like, do you want that? What do you want? And then I would share with her, if you haven't already directly, how sometimes the flake, you know, exactly what you said, like the flake or the confused one is a resistance archetype. And it doesn't mean that there isn't actually like clarity or like ability to have presence and forward action. But oftentimes it just means that there's fear of naming it, moving forward with it or showing up fully for the desire. And you can look together, you know, and see what feels true or not true for her around that. As you know, like always holding the space for her agency, right? For her to reflect and be like, no, I actually just don't have energy at all right now, boom, right? Or for her to see like, yes, that this is what's happening here, a version of this, you know, whatever it is.
Thank you. I'm conscious of the time I'm taking up. Would you like offer, I don't want to offer this, I guess, but like to take a break in the summer. I feel like bringing back, it would just be too much.
I would want to see what comes through that conversation before, you know, and then make decisions from there. It might be no time off at all, you know, hopefully. It might be that it's like a month. I don't know. I think it's just going to be so dependent on what comes through and where she's actually at once you can kind of look a little bit at the fear and the resistance.
And so to bring this back up, like in session where it's like, and if she says it's not the right time, then we look at like, cause I mean, she's in a year contract.
Yeah. So then it would be like, okay, you know, do you want to put this on hold for a month or 2 months? But I wouldn't go there first. I would look at more the inner pieces. And also again, like reflect to her what you sense is possible if she's up for it, which she may or may not be.
Great. Awesome. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Stephanie.
Hi. So what Inbal was sharing at first around client care and containers is bringing something up for me, which is that I just wonder how good of a job I'm doing with that, with my clients in terms of the program that I have. You know, I sort of have not, as a practice, reached out to folks who, like, there are a handful of folks that join the program and then just sort of like disappear into the hedges and like I don't see them again for a long time, if at all. That tends to be the folks who are at the lower tier where they don't have the one-on-one with me, and it's just like they're just not there. And like every once in a while I will like reach out when I remember and sort of realize like, oh, this person hasn't been around. But I haven't really made it a practice to do that and have left this sort of like the ball, like my approach has been like the ball is in your court to like come to the group and come to me for support. But I'm just wondering if that's the best way for me to go about it. I feel like I'm not serving people as well as I could with that approach. And there's been other things that have happened in the past month. So I ended up canceling one of my calls this past month because we went to Maine for the first time in like forever. And like, I had a lot of guilt around that, but I was like, no, I need this family time. And so I canceled the call and it was fine. But I still feel a little bit like, wow, I haven't seen these people in a long time. And it feels like the container has gotten a little bit loose. And then there was a client recently who they wrote in their focus form something around like feeling like an absence of support and community. And part of that, like I spoke to them and they recognize that like a big part of that is them. Like they've actually chosen consciously to not share in the community for like personal reasons. So I know that's not about me, but it just was sort of like triggering this spot of guilt that I'm having around feeling like I'm not really holding the container as well as I could or supporting people as well as I could.
Yeah, it's such a good question. And I think one, like we've been talking about throughout this call, like that this last year has complicated so much because of Zoom fatigue. Which is, it's like, it's a factor in all of this. Zoom fatigue and fallout from the pandemic that people don't even realize is just going on for them. So I don't want to blame everything on that because, right. But I do think that is just a piece of what we're dealing with as a people right now, you know, as an industry, but really like as a people right now, that is what it is. So that's living in here somewhere. Right. And then, so from there, it's like, how you know, for the people that aren't getting privates, how tight of a container before you go like tightening containers or doing more things or whatever it is, I think the first question is like, how tight of a container is it meant to be? Right. So I'll use, like, let's use Coaching Mastery Circle as an example. Like at the beginning of this program, I told everybody, this is a loose container. You know, this is not me tracking you step by step by step. You show up, I will over deliver. I will give you everything that you ask for and more, but you need to show up. That at this, that is what this program is, right? That being said, I still do check in on people, you know, but it's, so I think the first question is like, what is the container? Because not every program is meant to have the same container. That's number one. Number two, longer programs just naturally have to, most of the time, not always, but longer programs, there is like a loosening up that's going to happen at a certain point because it's a longer program and people go in cycles, programs go in cycles. Like it's hard to, the facilitator needs to sustain the constant, right? But the people in it are not robots that are going to sustain the consistent amount of presence. And that's okay. Sacred rhythms, natural rhythms, right? So we'll get to like what you can do in a second, but I want to lay this all out first because it's like, we want to take responsibility as facilitators, but we also don't want to take over responsibility as facilitators either. So let me pause there. There's more, but what is sparking for you just from?
Yeah. No, I mean, I know it's one of my patterns to take over responsibility for things and other people. And so I guess it's not surprising that I'm like having all these feelings around like, I'm not doing enough. And like, oh, you're not showing up. Like, what did I do wrong? Like, how can I fix it? Right. So yeah, just some awareness around that. It is a 6-month program, which is not like super long, but it is long-ish. Yeah. So I guess I can expect that. And I guess what I could just, I'm sort of like jumping ahead to
go ahead.
Do, yeah. But like, I think I could revisit the welcome information for the group and make sure it's super clear, like what the container is and sort of like what I am providing and what is expected of them.
So I think for you, so for new people moving forward, I absolutely would revisit the welcome and I would speak to the container and how, like, when you start off, it's, you know, you're there fully, but then life happens and it's, you know, you want to track yourself and watch yourself and remember to show up, right? So how, you know, you can add those pieces into the welcome, but I would say, do a recording for the people that are in it and speak to some of these issues, speak to the pandemic, speak to Zoom fatigue, speak to, you know, 6 months, speak to like all the things, and don't make anybody wrong or shame anyone or make one option better than another, but say like you have two choices in front of you. If you know that you haven't been showing up or showing up in the ways that you could totally continue doing that, you know, and you will definitely still receive when you do show up. And that's great. Or you might be feeling in your heart that you really want to put more presence and focus and energy to your goals. If that's you, here's what I suggest you do next, right? And then like give them an assignment and then tell them to start showing up, put it in their calendar, you know, whatever it is. So you can also kind of insert that in wherever people are in the phase of their program right now, you know, and I would you don't have a Facebook group, right? You're on.
No, I've moved everything into Mighty Networks.
Can you do lives in Mighty Networks or put videos?
I can put videos. I can't do lives yet.
Okay, so I would put the video in there, and I would also send out emails about it.
Yeah.
And if you wanted to take it a step further, I don't know if you're mostly on Facebook or Instagram, but you could private message each of the people that really need to watch the video too and tell them to watch the video.
Yeah, I just sent an Instagram message actually to one client who's just like not been there at all. And I feel bad because it's been like 4 months, I think. And like, I'm only now, I actually tried reaching out to them a couple months ago. I should give myself credit, and they never responded, but I think I have the wrong email. I'm not sure what's going on with them.
Some people don't respond, right? Like, I've reached out to some people here and you haven't responded yet. Maybe you will, right? But it's like, it's also just life, you know? It's not, and you can't take it personally, you know, you just like show up for it, right? So I think doing something for the group, you know, and even relating it to like, this may not be true for everybody, but if this resonates with you, how you show up or don't show up for this program is probably 100% related to how you're showing up or not showing up for your business.
Totally.
If there's resistance to taking action in your business, there's probably resistance to showing up here.
Yep.
How do you start to overcome that? Show up here. Mm-hmm. Let's look at that together.
Yeah, I like that a lot. I think that makes sense. I've tried to post something like a text-based thing a while ago in the group of like, make sure your notifications are turned on and blah, blah, blah. And like chart, like spoke to some of these things. But yeah, trying a video might be, some people are more likely to see that and reaching out through email. I like, because some people aren't getting the notifications. So
exactly. Yeah. I'd reach out to people in any and all ways, you know, in Bali, okay. I was just making the point that how people show, like whatever blocks they have to showing up for the program are related to whatever block they have for showing up for their business, which Stephanie is helping them with.
Mm-hmm. I also, just one last thing. I also wonder if it would be good for me to, going forward, put like a little reminder in my calendar, like once a month, to just sort of like evaluate who's been showing up and not. And if I'm seeing a big gap that's like I haven't noticed in the day to day, that to reach out on a more frequent basis. Is that how you do it? Because I always love when you check in.
That is exactly what I do. That is 100%. Like I have it in my blueprint for the month. And I'm like, okay, who do I not feel connected to or haven't seen, that I want to check in with.
Awesome. Cool. I'll do that too, because I'm not good at keeping up with that without the reminder.
Yeah. You need to just put it in the blueprint and it's there.
Awesome. That's really helpful. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Corinne.
All right. This must be something that other people are wondering too. I just noticed that there's a month left in this, in our a year long kind of hanging out together. And I'm just curious if you have thoughts about next steps, what's next, or if that's something that's coming in the next few weeks or something.
Yeah, give me another couple of days. It's almost ready to go out, but thank you for noting. And I have also been thinking a lot about it too. And I have some options and opportunities. So I'll share. All right, we have a couple minutes left. Lissa, I haven't heard from you. Penny, we haven't heard from you. I don't know if either of you have anything that you want to share or anything you want support on.
Say that this talk about a container is very helpful to me, especially given the meditation visualization you started with. The container I've been running in the midst of this family is worn thin, needs to be replaced. And somehow I have to let everybody, like I've been trying to let everybody know, but so yeah, I need to do some work with that. Too many threads to too many things out of my control. Thank you for checking in. And then something happened, you know, and it just takes me right out. So I'll be working on my container. It's not really any businessy kind of thing. It's just more of the same and just moving. I'm curious to see this full moon that's going to happen exactly on my full moon natal, 3 degrees Capricorn sun. So it's going to flip. So yeah. Bless, bring it. I don't know. So, anyway, that's it. So I appreciate the container of this. I'm looking forward to I really love being in circle, in this business circle, and it's very helpful as I recreate myself to have this place to come. And I'm feeling a big shift in myself, even in the hour and a half of having witnessing, just breathing back into this space for myself. So thank you.
You're so welcome. I'm so glad to hear it. I'm so glad you're going to be working on your container. Most important. I was so happy that you reached out in the Facebook group this last week and got some of the kind of like information that you needed. And as you're ready to move forward more on that, let us know. We're here.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Penny, anything that you want to share? Anything that you need?
Yeah, sure. Just for very quickly. So I'm sorry I got here late today, but I had 2 meetings that ran late. And I just wanted to come to be present in your for a little bit anyway. This week I've been finally getting some work done on putting together the stuff for a website and getting some coaching on that and taking and ready to put out an announcement on offering some 2-hour coaching sessions to people to start the conversation and get myself out and get some more clients rolling. So I'm committing to taking action steps and facing whatever, just doing it, right? So yeah, so just a celebration.
Yes, that is a big celebration. I'm so excited. I'll be thinking about you over the next couple of weeks as you do it. You're so ready. I'm so happy to hear it. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's it. And thank you. I'll let you know if I, you know, to look at some stuff or whatever, but yeah. Thank you.
So happy to hear it. I can't wait to see it too.
Good.
I just wanted to add with this discussion about the pandemic and lockdown, what I'm noticing in my household is we've had 3 generations here in the house and we've all just been kind of holding ourselves. It's almost like holding the tree pose for a year and a half. And as things are loosening, things are falling apart. And this is probably what's happening in a lot of households, just to add that to the discussion that everybody's been having today about the pandemic. It's rough. It's rough out there.
Yeah, I'll just share this because I think it's good for us, like as human beings, to know for ourselves, but also as practitioners. Some of you know it's been rough in my household with Penina, which is some of it is just like normal teenage, all that. But I do just want to share because I thought about this so much over the last 4 or 6 weeks. I took her to her pediatrician for a checkup, and her pediatrician was sharing with us that she hasn't seen a single family in the last 8 months where the child hasn't had some anxiety, some depression, massive weight loss, massive weight gain, school very different, like grades, whatever it is. And that there, even for those of us, like my family hasn't been, thank God, directly impacted by the pandemic, that we've all been impacted in one way or another. And it was helpful for me to hear that because it just gives more grace, you know, like for myself and others around what we're all going through as a community, as a people right now. So I think it's important to hold that.
Yeah, you know, I feel like people have been holding it together to get through the pandemic. And now that it's opening, I see a lot more anxiety in friends, in the air, because people again are in that uncertain transition of not knowing, is it really safe? Is it not? What can I do? What can't I do?
Yeah, 100%, 100%. And everything is, things may be the same, but they're also different than they were a year and a half ago. We're in a different place, you know? So good for us to give ourselves grace around that, our clients grace around that, right? Yeah. And everybody that we know. All right, I'm sending you all a ton of love. So good to see you. Let me know what you need, and I'll see you all very soon. Have a wonderful, wonderful rest of your day.